Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Al, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy. Hello.
Hi. How are you? Hello, everybody.
I'm good. I got really nervous then.
Guys, it might be a year of podcasting, but we still get very nervous before the countdown is finished.
Isn't that so stupid? Like, we literally talk normally before we record. We're talking on the phone for like half an hour or whatever beforehand, and then like it's the same thing. We do the conversation is basically just us having a conversation. But I get so nervous.
Even like I'll listen to an episode back, or if I'm editing an episode and I struggle to explain my point, and in my head I'm like, I know I can speak more coherently, it's because I know that we've hit record.
Yeah.
And the mic is on you. Yeah, you're falling over
your
own words. Yeah but we're not here to talk about us getting nervous before recording. Not today.
We are here to talk about us, though.
Yes, we are. Because this is a very special anniversary episode of Bookish, guys.
Woo!
Woo, woo, woo!
Yeah, this is our, well, like, our 1 year anniversary, I suppose. So that's really cool. We've been doing this for a year. Actually, I went out for lunch with my friend earlier, and her boyfriend apparently asked her if I was still doing my podcast. And when she said yes, apparently he was like, oh, that's so impressive. I'm impressed with the commitment. Like, that's really cute.
It's true. It's a big time commitment. And when you look at, like, I see other podcasters get episodes out weekly, and I'm always so impressed by that level of commitment, because
I know
we struggle. So
it is a struggle sometimes, and you know what, if we weren't working from home, there's no way, because like the time that we'd be commuting is often when we record.
Yes.
So like between like 7:30 and 8:30 or whatever in the morning when you'd be commuting. So
that's probably why I can't get my sentences out. You're like, it's us talking on a podcast is the first time I'm coherently speaking to anyone before my day started.
That is true, but I'm a morning person rather than an evening person, so maybe it's better in some ways.
I'm definitely much more of a morning person. I just, it takes me a while to warm up in terms of speaking, because I'll like get up and go to the gym or something. Very little chat happens in that hour.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you and your gym. Your early mornings. Can't do it.
Oh, I love it. I can't work out at night. I say that, but I have been doing that. Anyway, that's not the reason we're here today. Today is a special episode, like we said. It's a music and talk episode, if you're listening to us on Spotify. If you're not, then it's just a really nice reflection
on
our past year. Talk. It's not the music. We'll leave the playlist for you guys to listen to if you want to hear the music part.
Yeah, we just wanted to do something to talk about, like reflect basically. Like, we've just been talking about different episodes that we've done, different like events that we've talked about and like been to throughout like the last year, I suppose. Because we've tried to do something every month, like the two of us, partly because we're just friends anyway, and also partly because like it's like a bookish social in a way, just so we like have like other things to talk about that aren't just like the book basically. So yeah,
okay, well guys, we will leave you to it. Enjoy. So Kath, what's been some of your favourite moments from this past year?
Well, I think one of my favourite memories that I have of like the last year and us and stuff is going to the Women's Prize shortlist readings event. which was an in-person event, which I know they did exist at some times in the last year. And I think we referred to it, or like discussed our time there and like talked about what we liked about it in our episode on Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid, because I mean, we're part book podcast, part Taylor Jenkins Reid's fan club on Bookish. And we're probably going to do Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo at some point in 2022.
Oh, we absolutely have to do that.
We're just continuing with the same vibe. But yeah, so we went to the shortlist reading event and it was just really lovely. It was a lovely day. The sun was shining. We had some drinks. We heard all the authors like speak about their shortlisted books, and like we got some books signed. We got some merch. Like, oh, it was just really inspiring and really lovely. We met Sherry Jones and she was so lovely. And she like wrote in my book, like, looking forward to reading your novel one day, which doesn't exist, doesn't even slightly exist. But like, that was just such a lovely moment for me. And we've obviously like read some of the books, actually almost all of the shortlist now. I still need to read Claire Fuller's book, but yeah. And we were a little bit upset because Britt Bennett wasn't there, and we absolutely stan Britt Bennett, and The Vanishing Half is a, like an amazing book and also one of my favourite episodes, I think.
Yeah, there's so much to say about that book. Actually, I have a question for you. Now that you've read a lot more of the shortlist and you've read the winner, because in that episode we were very much like, yeah, Britt Bennett, she's gonna win, la. But yeah, now having read the winner and I've read a lot more of the shortlist, has your opinions changed?
I think Piranesi, or whatever, however you say it, was such an interesting, different book. Like, I've never read anything else like it. And I could see why it won, because I feel like it was quite like an escapism. It was like an escapism vibe to it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like The Vanishing Half had a good shot at winning. And yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't won much, to be honest. But I guess it's been like recognised a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the thing is with those things, you never know who's actually going to win and like why. Because like the judges will have their opinions for like those reasons. So I think just to get shortlisted is like, because also all the books are so different on the shortlist as well, which is really, really nice. So yeah, I think just to get shortlisted in itself is such an amazing, like, I mean, blooming Patricia Lockwood getting shortlisted on the Women's Prize and the Booker Prize. Like, she absolutely smashed it.
You couldn't ask for much more, could you, really? Like, the winning is like the icing on the cake. And her book is phenomenal. And yes, very different to The Vanishing Half in all
and very more different to Piranesi, like yeah. So yeah, but we've done an episode on Patricia Lockwood and we've done an episode on The Vanishing Half. I mean, as in, no one's talking about this by Patricia Lockwood and The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. And actually in the Vanishing Half episode, is that the one when we talked about our Spotify only you?
Yes. It was a really long episode because we had so much to cover, but we wanted to talk about our Spotify only use because it was just so, like,
hilarious.
Know, yeah, funny, hilarious. Like, discovering that early on, our listening habits for the year, and then seeing what they like, because you were quite surprised by yours, no?
Mine was like Raxu. Like, I do love Raxu, quite fine. But like, I feel like, yeah, it was quite funny. I think you took the piss out of me quite a lot having Raxu in my only year.
I mean, the last I heard from anyone from Raxu was when the guy went in on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and he had a little like crush on that TV presenter here in the UK, Kate Galloway. And that was quite nice to see. But I was like, I didn't know they had any music beyond what their X Factor career.
Guys, they have a new single, like a recent single. Oh. I think there might only be three of them now.
How many were there?
Four.
Oh.
Standard boy band number. I think there might only be three now. Not sure. I don't really follow the band's politics, to be honest.
It's not something I get myself into.
But yeah, what was on your only you again?
Oh, my only you, I had like lots of Ali and AJ. Because there's two songs that I'll have on repeat. They never make it into my top, but I like to listen to them. It's the Veronicas, Untouched, and
love that song.
What, that breakup song, the Ali and AJ one?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that's a great song.
Such good songs, and I have them on repeat. I'll go through a phase every year where I'll just look. They're actually really good songs to listen to. Veronica, Untouched, when you're running, fantastic to run to. So I had Ali and AJ, and I think I just kind of went on this like weird binge of like their music, because they put out some albums, and actually it's really cool. Like, they've obviously matured in their music as they've gotten older, because they've gotten older and that's what people do. It's more synthy and more like what's an artist that's vaguely similar? It's more synthy, more Haim-like type.
Yeah, vibes. I know the vibe.
And then I had lots of Victoria Monet. And I think it's because I have like a wash day playlist, like that Spotify do. It's great. I like when I wash my hair, because it's such a task. And wash day, as anyone knows, when you have like textured or afro hair, it's like a whole day's worth of hair washing. So for me, I like to put a playlist on, so it keeps me on track, so then I know by this song I should have moved on, that kind of thing.
That's very clever.
Yeah,
so you're like, you're timed by your songs.
Exactly. And so Victoria Monet was on there, and then I think I went down like a whole avenue, down a whole rabbit hole of listening to her stuff. So I had a lot of her on my Spotify only you, but it wasn't, none of it was surprising, and none of it really changed that much by the time I got to the Wrapped. I don't know how yours looks like by the time you got to Wrapped, because you said in the episode that it was a chance for you to change your ways. So did you change your ways?
Well, Raxi didn't actually make it into my rap, but they made it into like, they gave me like a meet your favorite artists or something playlist or whatever, and they made it into that.
You know what? You know what I would love? So I used to work with a girl who had a brother that worked in the music industry, and when Stormzy was promoting an album or something, they took his like top fans, like his top 0.something% of fans on Spotify on this like one day trip to Ibiza or something like that, and they had like a party in this like villa. And I want to be able to listen to an artist enough that I'm considered to be in their 0.something% of fans, that I get a cool thing like that. As much as I've got,
that's so cool,
isn't it? As much as I've had is like Little Mix. I think I was like in the top 5% or 3% or something.
Yeah, but the thing is, bands like that, like, well, I guess it's the same with Stormzy, but they're just going to have so many fans that you really have to like,
yes, be exactly obsessed. I've been given like, oh, you can get this album that's in this vinyl thing for like £25. Like, it's as much as I've got for being in the top percent of something on Spotify. But one day,
Libs. Cool, so we know what my favourite moment was. What was your favourite moment? I mean, obviously, also, can I just say, like, was quite hard to pick. So.
Yeah, it's quite true.
No pressure.
We listed out everything, and then we were like, what jumps out? I would have to say it was pretty early on when we did our To All The Boys episodes, just because did that film come out in the pandemic? No, it was before the pandemic.
No, the final one came out on Valentine's Day.
Oh my God, yeah.
And we watched it,
and I think it's because we had that date night. I feel like I just engrossed myself in a whole world that was Lara Jean, Covey and Peter Kavinsky, and we literally stayed in that world for like a whole month, because when we had to do the episodes, we had to catch up on the books we hadn't read. Then we sat and we had a date night on like around Valentine's Day watching that, and we watched it together, you know, when you can do your Netflix watch parties.
And we got it was really
super
cute.
Emotional, and we got all dressed up because that was in the middle of the pandemic. Yeah, you're right. So we couldn't go anywhere or do anything or be social together.
Yeah, that was really cute because, like, we were literally, we've been in lockdown for like 6 weeks or something mental.
Oh, longer than that, no? Because London was in lockdown. Oh, no. So London had been in lockdown since end of October, or tier five or six or four or whatever that was. Yeah. Which basically was a lockdown.
God knows. But basically, we'd been inside for ages, so it was a really lovely evening.
Really lovely evening. And I just felt all, like, fluffy, and it made me think of, like, being that age and doing college acceptances and those friendships that you have then at that age. And actually, I'm friends with the girls I was friends at school with, not like, well, college, I would say, sixth form, mm-hmm. as opposed to like high school. So all of those moments hold dear in my heart. And I just think Jenny Han did a fantastic job with those books for being nostalgic. And I think that in turn, because the source material was so great, they were able to adapt it so brilliantly. Not the second film.
Yeah.
I think the second book is so much better than what they gave to the second film. But, I really loved what Jenny Han created. And what I really loved about that was the sibling relationship that they had, the three girls, like that dynamic as being the elder sister, the middle sister, the Kitty getting her own like spin-off now because she's so fantastic.
Is she?
Yeah. Kitty's getting her own
spin-off. When's that coming out?
I don't know. They sort of made a statement about it this year, but I don't know when that's due to come out. But she does get her own spin-off, so that's pretty cool.
Brilliant.
And I just really love that dynamic. And we spoke a lot about, I think in that episode I spoke a lot about the pressures that what's Lara June's sister's older sister called?
Would it be an episode if we hadn't forgotten someone's name? That's the thing. Oh my god, it's on the tip of my tongue. Why can't I remember it?
I can see her in my head so vividly.
I literally have it on the tip of my tongue. Lara Dean.
Oh, Margot. Margot?
That's it.
Right. Is it Margot? No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
We're going to say that. I'm really sorry if it's not. But like Kath said, would it be an episode if we didn't forget the name of a character in something?
We're useless.
We're terrible. I really liked the dynamics that they wrote about between the three sisters and what it means to be the youngest, the middle and the eldest one, especially for Margot, because obviously there's a lot of pressure when you are the oldest and maybe a parent isn't there or is absent for whatever reason. And as you'll know, in the most recent episode, I was talking a lot about Encanto, and I'm just coming back here. Just stay with me. Because it does...
No, but hold on. Just before Ellie's obsessed.
I'm obsessed.
She texted me the other day saying, I've got a problem, and sent me a picture of her watching Encanto again. And I was like, how many times have you watched this and now? And she was like, lost track, but if it helps, it's the first time this week. And it was like Tuesday.
Oh, it was so good. I heard my neighbours this morning. They were outside playing, and they were playing football, and every now and again one of them would erupt into a chorus of either like Surface Pressure or We Don't Talk About Bruno. But it goes a long way to the storytelling that goes in that film, that people are able to relate to it at levels at all ages, especially Surface Pressure, because if you look at the dynamic between the three sisters, Louisa's in particular, she talks about that pressure you have being like an older sibling, or maybe being like the only sister, or being an older sibling and not being able to have the opportunity to just enjoy things, or having to be the strong one in that dynamic. And it just made me think, like, you know, with To All the Boys, like, that's some of the pressures that I feel like Lara Jean and Margot feel in different ways. Had to take a lot on, and really not feeling like they can express that they're not coping or they need some help. So yeah, I mean, yes, I love Encanto. Please do watch it. It's a fantastic film. But also, please do like read To All the Boys, because it's just it's perfect YA fiction, you know?
Yeah, it is good. I enjoyed those episodes as well. And that time, it was good.
Yeah, it was like the very beginning. It was quite cute.
So we obviously did the date night for To All the Boys, but we had some slightly more chaotic date nights in person, which have led to some slightly more chaotic episodes. Basically, we went for bottomless brunch, and it just didn't really end very well.
No, it didn't. When did we record that episode? Oh, because I was still suffering like 2 days later, and that's when we recorded that episode, right? I feel like it was something.
Yeah, so probably our most chaotic episode was, well, I mean, it's subjective, because we're quite chaotic quite a lot of the time, but probably where the Crawdads sing was quite chaotic. I'm actually a bit scared to listen to it now and see how chaotic it really is.
So sorry, guys. Apologies if you had to sit through that episode. I really wanted to like enjoy discussion on that book, because we were like really all over the place.
God help us. And also, don't go to, there's these restaurants that are like sister restaurants in London. There's like Serata Hall, Canova Hall, Kativo, and like the bottomless is just lethal. Yeah. Like it's just that, like, it's actually just not, it's actually shouldn't be legal.
It's more like a booze first, food later kind of brunch. So the alcohol is unlimited.
It's not included, yeah. So you don't have to actually, although I think you are meant to order food, but like, we just ordered food way too late, basically.
Yeah.
And then your food was really late as well.
And I was done by that point.
It was the rum punch that did it.
Don't mix God. And drip. Because we had Prosecco and rum punch.
But I don't really like rum, so I think that's where the issue was for you, because you drank all the rum, because I didn't really like it.
And then, yeah.
I was still very, very hungover the next day.
But then, you know, guys, the next day was Monday. We did that on the Sunday, and the next day was Monday, and I was very much out for the count.
Bearing in mind, we did it at, like, 1 p.m. on Sunday, so we were like, oh, we'll be fine. We weren't trying to be irresponsible on a Sunday, but... It's because we got that bottle just before they kicked us off the table.
Oh my god, yeah.
It was really stupid. We just had we were having a really good time, so we were like, woo.
That was really I don't ever want to be that drunk again, and I don't think I haven't I haven't been since then. Not to the extent that I was that severely bad the next day. Like, I wasn't functioning the next day. Kath had to do a lot of the heavy lifting. Thank you for that.
Fine. I then went to one of the sister places for my housemate's birthday, and I was like not a functioning member of society for almost a week afterwards.
Yeah.
Never again.
Yeah.
Never again. I felt like I was at uni again. I was like, what am I doing?
Doesn't it make you think though, how did we do that at uni? Because it would have been like that constantly for like 7 days in a row.
I know, but what? Like, why? Why did we do that? Like, it's not fun. Like, I hate being hungover. It's literally the worst thing ever. Like, everything in moderation. I feel like at my age, I should know that.
Yeah.
Which I do most of the time, to be fair.
I just, no thank you. No thank you. I don't want it. I don't need it. We've had other chaotic episodes for other reasons. Not because we've been the chaotic element, but more like...
I don't know if I'm ready to talk about it.
Kath is still scarred by this.
We tried to record an episode on Olive by Emma Gannon approximately 6,000 times. So we eventually got... We did... There is an episode on it. You can listen to it if you like. But I'm never going to listen to it again because I'm scarred.
It wasn't even just... It was the recording. It was the tech. It was the editing.
It was everything. And then, oh my God, because we record on two different platforms... And I was convinced that we'd done it on the other platform and it wasn't there. And I even contacted the support on the platform being like, where's my recording? And then, like, I realised I was looking in the wrong platform for it. It was so embarrassing. Like, I literally, like, messaged them, like, where's my recording? I did it on this day at this time. And they were like, no, you didn't. And I was like, yes, I did. I did not, guys.
Yeah, look, are you okay?
Yeah, literally. We do. We have, to be fair, guys, we've had a lot of tech issues. So you're very fortunate that we've, like, sometimes if we've ever missed an episode, 9 times out of 10, it's probably because we tried to record it and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And we've done this so many times now, I don't understand how it still messes up for us because we know what we're doing now. Like, at the start, it was trial and error for a while. But now that we know what we're doing, it's like, why is it still messing up?
I mean, say from, I guess, being in a studio and having people that are, like, professionals that do this, that could avoid all of the, like, we've done everything that we could possibly do to, like, minimise the error, and yet sometimes it just works against you. There's nothing more you can do. Yeah, it got to the point where Kath is like, if this doesn't work this time, we are not doing this episode. It's just not going to happen.
I was getting very annoyed.
I didn't blame you, though, at that point, because it was just like, the universe doesn't want us to have this.
Yeah, like, as well as chaotic episodes, chaotic brunches. We've also talked about some chaotic books, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we have. But a good chaotic, like in a good way.
Yeah.
Like as in it's purposeful in its chaos to exemplify certain points. And we've mentioned it before, we spoke about it earlier. So No One Is Talking About This by Patricia Lockwood. The structure, the narrative. I mean, the first part of the book is basically a Twitter thread, which is, if you use a platform, is chaos. Reads like chaos, is intermittent in its thoughts.
I sent you that tweet and it was like, I found you on Instagram, found you on Twitter.
What?
No!
Yeah, and it's just that it's a great book. Like, I can understand why it was shortlisted on two of, like, the biggest prizes going. Because of its, I think its structure, and it has a strong narrative voice in its protagonist. So yeah,
that was a good episode.
Well, go check it out. But do you remember what else we spoke about in that episode?
Everybody in love, go put your hands up. You're in love, put your hands up.
Going back to our resident boy band fan. Hi, Catherine.
I'm not ashamed. Boy bands are great. I actually didn't even realise that I liked boy bands until we started talking about Spotify on this podcast.
I started dissecting your playlists and your raps and your listening habits.
Yeah. But we, guys, I don't know if you remember, if you listened to that episode, but we did go and see JLS and it was great. 10 out of 10.
I actually really enjoyed myself.
They were really good.
They were.
They were really good.
Was it the song is a love? Is it no? The
to the sound of music.
There's a girl in the spotlight. Ooh, something on. The club, that's the club. The club is alive. That's it. Couldn't remember.
That's it.
Couldn't remember.
Brilliant. Pure brilliance. Talking about pure brilliance, we couldn't have a podcast about books and not talk about Sally Rooney.
Everyone's favourite author.
Or not so, depending on who you are.
I mean, I like the way she writes, you know. I do. I do, yeah. Like normal people. We know this. Won't labour the point. But yeah.
How many times has Ellie said I didn't like normal people on We Are Bookish? Why did I say We Are Bookish like that? It's because I'm so used to be like, We Are Bookish. How many times has Ellie said she doesn't like Sally Rooney on Bookish? That's what I want to know.
I didn't say I didn't like Sally Rooney.
Normal people. See, that whole two sentences I tried to say was pure chaos, wasn't it?
You're going to start something, Kath.
Yeah, God. Just, okay, guys, just to be clear, it's just normal people that Ellie doesn't like.
Yeah, I haven't made conversations with friends.
You've got my copy, right?
I do need to read it. Sorry. We have a shared library, it's okay.
Yeah. It's fine.
Well, there were aspects of this book that I liked, and then there was bits that they adapted. TV programme. Connell, for one.
No, specifically Connell's chain.
You found that account though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Amy showed it to me. It's like there was an Instagram account for his chain and it had like thousands of followers. He's a very attractive young man.
He is. I wonder what he's doing now. Like, as in, like, in terms of...
Where is he? Why is he not in love with me?
I heard that he was dating one of the other girls in the cast. So, you know what? She's, like, Daisy Edgar-Jones? I get her confused with the other Daisy, right? I know that she's going to be in Where the Core Dads Sing. We know that. But, like, what's he doing now? Where can we see him?
Yeah. Where can we see him? On our TVs.
Where can we find that chain? I wonder if there was, like, jewellers across the UK and Ireland were selling out of, like, gold link chains.
They probably were, you know. How funny. A moment in pop culture.
But, yeah, like, Sally Rooney, she gives lots of conversation. Her books give lots of... points of discussion, like you couldn't have a podcast and not do her. It would be criminal.
No, it would be criminal.
It would
also be criminal for us not to talk about the fact that we're basically a Taylor Jenkins fan club.
Oh,
absolutely. Which we have actually already talked about, but let's go into more detail.
Absolutely. Okay, so I've just finished Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. I don't know. I sat on it for a really long time because I didn't want to read through not all of her library. There's still stuff there that's not. So I don't know if it's part of this universe or not. She has other work, but I didn't really want to read through the universe she's created with Evelyn and Daisy and Mick so quickly because I don't know when she's going to have another book out. Do you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted to savour it, but I honestly thought that was the first one she did. That was 2017, and then Daisy, then Malibu Rising. Yeah. That is a strong, solid start. It's fantastic. It's nuanced. It's beautiful. It's like a love story, a forbidden love story for the characters of that generation at that time. It's nostalgic of, like, Hollywood and... Like, she writes historical fiction, I guess, so, like, of that time. I'm so glad my mum made me, like, watch those sort of old movies with Rock Hudson, with Bette Davis, with Joan Crawford, with Rita Hayworth, all that kind of stuff, because I have a massive appreciation for them now. I can literally sit and watch Casablanca, which was something I used to hate doing when I was a kid, because it's a boring black and white movie. I can have it on the background now. I can have it on and sit and watch it and just, like, Humphrey Bogart and just It was like a time unlike it, and like that was like the first venture into cinema, really, you know.
I think you should read Mr. Wilder and Me, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I borrow it?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's like about Billy Wilder is a real person, but it's fictional. Like the book's fictional. Sorry, I don't know why I listened to myself. So, yeah, the book's fictional, but it's like you know, like Rodham, the book about.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that. Like it's not. It's based off people who exist, but it's not real.
Not real.
Kind of thing. Wow.
But, I mean, yeah. Daisy Jones and the Six was, like, the one I read first. And I just thought, that's fantastic. The structure of that is fantastic.
Daisy Jones and the Six is honestly one of the best books I've ever read. Like...
So good.
It's so good.
Mm. Yeah, it really is. And that was, like, influenced a lot by, like... So where's Evelyn Hugo's influenced a lot by, like, the movie stars going through the 50s and onwards? Daisy Jones is, like, influenced by the rock stars from, like, the 70s and onwards. And, like, that a really actually small period in time. It's, like, what, a two-year period that we follow this band before they break up? It's not even that long.
Yeah, it's... possibly slightly longer than that, but yeah, it's not very long.
It's not very long,
rather than like someone's whole life.
Yeah, exactly. And like everyone says that she drew a lot of influence from like bands like Fleetwood Mac, very Fleetwood Mac vibes. And I'm really excited for the series because she puts all the songs at the end of the book, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And I find it hard, I've said this before, like reading poetry or reading like lyrics to a song or two songs, I find it hard to read without hearing the music because I can't imagine what that sounds like in my head. So yeah. I can't wait to see someone bring that to life for the small screen. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, be good.
So yeah. Oh, but I do just need to see an adaptation of The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. That needs to happen. And I think it, for me, it edges Daisy Jones out slightly, just ever so slightly. And I do need to reread Malibu Rising now, because I didn't think I'd appreciated it when I read it.
Malibu Rising is definitely bottom of the pile, but still really, really good.
Yeah. I didn't appreciate it when I read it. But yeah, going back to it. But yes, we are the TJR universe. We're here. She is God. Done. Fantastic. Fantastic writer. But dating has been a big theme and topic for us, I guess, this past year.
Yeah.
We've had lots of episodes about, like, odd profiles we've seen. Not lots of episodes. We've had some episodes that have focused on, like, dating. The one being a two-parter because there was so much to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he talked about the series as well as the book.
Yeah.
That's also one of my favourite books ever, I think. I really love that book.
It's a fantastic book. It was creepy as hell, actually. Like, the bits with... I've forgotten his name. Is it Christopher?
Yeah, the serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His chapters I had to gloss over very quickly. As in, like, I read them and I was like, oh, don't spend too long reading them. Like, it's like a hot potato or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a really good book. The series isn't as good, I don't think. The series was a bit shit, actually.
I guess it's like a hard one to adapt that is maybe a bit... that would be convincing or as convincing.
It was more of like... It's not. Sorry, my chest. My chest is really creaky. It's more. It was more of like it was. They took the idea from the book rather than it was an adaptation.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think they captured the spirit of Ellie quite well. Is it Ellie? It's not Ellie. They called her Ellie in the book in the TV.
Yeah. The like the woman that set it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it did give us, like, quite a lot of good conversation in terms of, like, that I think that in that episode we talked about all of the different alternative dating apps you could get out there, all the different alternative ways people are finding love. We then spoke about whether we would do it. Would we give our DNA to find the one? Both said a resounding no to that.
Yeah.
Great idea in theory, but
yeah, we talked about dating. Well, I mean, dating actually, dating is what started this podcast essentially, because we read Ghosts and we've both been ghosted and we were like, right, we've got things to say. So like, but dating, yeah, is like, yeah, basically a big part of this,
where, yeah, because dating has changed so much anyway, and then it accelerated in a different way because of the pandemic. And so having dated during the pandemic and on and off, it was an interesting experience. Like I've said, we had both been ghosted in interesting and quite brutal ways.
Yeah, they are both pretty brutal situations.
And so yeah, we identified with ghosts a lot, and it was because of Kath that I read it.
Yeah, so yeah, I read it at a really good time, like as in it came at, like, coincided with being ghosted, and I was like, ah. And then Ellie got ghosted, and I was like, babes, I got you. Gave her the book for her birthday, and then I was like, I think we were drunk in lockdown, and we were like, oh, like, I think I said to Ellie, right, hear me out. Because Ellie's always said to me she wanted to do a podcast one day. And I was like, hear me out, right? We do a podcast and we talk about books, but then we also talk about other shit, like dating apps. And my first episode's on Ghosts.
Yeah. You literally sent me, like, the longest voice note going, I have an idea. And you can tell me no if you want to.
Yeah. And then it actually happened. Like, I'm so proud of us for actually doing it. It wasn't just like an idea and it never happened. Like, here we are, a whole year later, with like, I think we've done 20 episodes now.
Yeah, I think so. 20, yeah, it'll be, yeah, 2021 episodes.
Yeah, I think when this comes out, it'll be 20-ish episodes of Bookish.
Like I said, like we said before, for all of the like barriers and obstacles and hurdles we had to like, and the minefield that we had to go through for some of the episodes just to be able to get them out, I'm proud.
Me too.
To be doing this for a year. One of the what I really enjoyed about Ghosts, as it being like the first one or the book, is when Dolly Alderton, she had this like small thing that she did with Nina, who is the main character in the book, where Nina's whole existence hinges on this song that was like number one the day that she was born.
Mm.
And it really built her whole identity. She's called Nina George something for that reason, because the number one song that she was born that year was like a George Michael or Wham song. So for us, like when we were building out, like the first time we ever built out a script, what are we going to talk about? What's a good way to intro the episode, etc.? We were like, oh, why don't we see what number one song was for us when we were born and the day that we were born? And eerily enough,
the same bloody song.
The same song, like 4 years later. It's so weird.
Different versions.
Different versions of the same song.
Go on.
It was Unchained Melody. Kath had the Robson and Jerome version. Jeez. And I had the Righteous Brothers version of it, which is that the original? I don't know why it came back into the... Oh, it came back into the charts because of the film Ghost. Which has nothing to do with, like, being
ghosted.
It's
actually got nothing to do with... Yeah, like, and that's just... That's actually quite funny in its own right, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess Demi Moore's, like, haunted by her ex-lover. But could we be haunted by the...
You've never seen Ghosts, have you? The film.
Well, I mean, as in, like, she... Doesn't she... He come back and they have to find out why he died. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
Yeah. It's one of my lesser favourites.
Really?
I'm not that keen.
You know what we haven't done?
What?
We haven't watched we haven't done the one of the Meg Ryan films that I hadn't watched, not the one that I had.
Which one's the one you've watched? We do this every time.
We do this every time.
Which one's the one you've watched? If you watched the Bookshop one, You've Got Mail.
Yes, it Sleeps in Seattle.
No, the one with the Bookshop is You've Got Mail.
Yeah,
Sleeps in Seattle is the one where they are on the radio.
The Bookshop one rings more bells.
And then...
I've seen When Harry Met Sally. That you can't forget.
Oh my God, I think I'm going to go watch one of those films tonight.
Yes. Treat.
Nice.
I recently watched It's Complicated with Meryl Streep.
Mm.
And I've forgotten his name. Doesn't matter. But I was like, oh, it's nice to see Meryl Streep in like a fun romantic role. A bit like how she was in Mamma Mia. Just like...
She's great.
Yeah. We love Meryl Streep.
So, yeah, it's been a really great year. Had a really great time. Haven't we?
We have indeed. Thank you for being on this journey with us. I think we've may have said it before in another episode, but truly, thank you. It means the world.
We love you.
It does. And we hope that we'll have another great year of...
Yeah. Here's the 2022.
Woo! Let us know, by all means. Slide into our DMs. Leave us recommendations, things that we should read. Send us emails. Like, you can follow us on We Are Bookish Pod on socials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all socials are We Are Bookish Pod. So find us there.
Yeah. And if you want to see Kath writing, we have a website. It's bookishpodcast.co.uk.
Yeah.
Let's
They're all my blogs at the moment because Ellie's is due. She's missed her deadline.
Quite a few times.
Her editor's getting impatient. The editor being me.
Sorry. I promise I'll have some. But in the meantime, let's get Kath writing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you guys. We love you, Muchos. A lot.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.